Let's next examine impotency and constipated rage of victims taken hostage. If you have worked with a skyjack victim who has been taken hostage, you know it's important in the treatment of acute responses, and especially in the treatment of delayed responses, to recognize their need to ventilate. In addition to the normal ventilation towards their captors, the clients must be allowed and encouraged to express feelings, as you know, of hostility towards the individuals involved in the negotiation for their release, as well as any feelings of pathological transference they may have towards the terrorist or their captors. If a patient experiences withdrawn behavior and needs encouragement to vent, you may find the following examples of 7 questions helpful with some clients in assisting them to vent feelings. Question number 1. If I could feel what I'm most afraid to feel, what would that be? Question number 2. My biggest fears are. Question number 3. I'm angry about what? Question number 4. I feel anxious when? Number 5. If I could say what I really want to say, what would that be? Number 6. I have been feeling bad about what? Number 7. My greatest fear is. As you know, encourage the client not to judge themselves. A colleague of mine then suggests they affirm their feelings by saying, "And that's the way it is for me now." According to Ockberg, in victims of terrorism during a siege, while the victim is still being held hostage, it's important not to disrupt the development of the previously described pathological transference. It's best if it's left alone, according to Ockberg. Disturbing pathological transference to the captors while the victim is held hostage may only reactivate the victim's terror and could produce a hopelessness that might result in a panic behavior. Because of this natural transference, rescuers often do not expect the victim's cooperation in an escape plan. Once the victim has been released, pathological transference may persist. For example, the victim is reluctant to either express negative feelings towards his captors or even to participate in their later prosecution. It takes a while, often months or longer, for this reaction to subside, if it does at all. Ethically, the principles of respecting the patient's inherent worth, dignity, and self-determination become the domineering factors here. However, if you have encountered this situation, do you need to increase your self-awareness of subtle pressures you may have exerted on victims that will not testify at a trial that could lead to the imprisonment of their captors? Ockberg believes that the persistence of pathological transference in the victim long after his or her release is based on a primal fear that any expression of negative feeling or behavior towards his former captor may bring retaliation. Yet the victim is also aware of the captor's predatory use of his suffering to obtain their demands. This accounts for the persistent, impotent, and another way to put this is constipated rage often experienced by victims of violent crime. In the past, this rage is common among concentration camp victims who felt that they could not get revenge or even reparation from the Nazis for their suffering. When we work with rape victims, we have encouraged victims to come to terms with this rage by adopting the attitude that survival and living without fear is getting even. Let me repeat that, perhaps for your future reference. We have encouraged clients to come to terms with their rage by adopting the attitude that survival and living without fear is getting even. Question 5. What could be the result of disturbing pathological transference while the victim is still held hostage?